Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
Wow, after all those promos, it doesn't even feel like we're going to be doing a show now, but we are. Hey, welcome everyone. This is the Indie Circuit. I'm Mal, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
Shaking his head in disbelief that I hit record and just went.
But yeah, you caught me by surprise there, but we're on the air. Oh my God, we're on the air. What are we doing now?
We're on the air. It's show 65. We had a crash landing there for a second.
Much better.
Yeah, a little bit better. I had delusions of grandeur. I had 100 in there somehow.
Yeah. It's because, time flies.
It's because we do so many shows. I got to tell you, you know, we do this like these numerous podcasts, and it kind of gets a little bit crazy sometimes. You know, we're up to 315 or something like that on Bunch of Dorks. We're up to 168 on our movie review podcast,
Slow Robot.
Slow Robot a Go-Go. And then we have the Indie Circuit, so...
It becomes one big blur of talk.
It does. We get a little punchy towards the end there.
Yeah, you know? We're real punchy. Yeah, but we're gonna do our best.
Wow, we'll do our best for you. You know, and then we just got done recording some promos for the show, and neither of us were thrilled with the end product, but they're okay for now.
I think we got one that's okay. that's releasable.
I'm never happy with anything. You know?
No, I never am either. We're artists, man. We're never happy. You know?
Yeah, man. Like, whoa. Artists.
Well, I could have done better, you know, but the existentialism is not there.
If only
yet.
I would have cut off my ear.
Ouch.
Van Gogh reference, huh?
Van Gogh. Yeah, huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
What was that about, dude?
I don't know. He was a little wacky. Kind of like some of the music we play on this show, a little wacky.
That equals truth.
But don't cut your ears off, because then you won't be able to listen to the show.
How could you listen? How would your earbuds
in
fall
stereo?
Off?
How could you listen in glorious stereo if you cut one of your ears?
So Van Gogh
off?
Couldn't listen to music nowadays because the earbud was always fall out of his one ear.
Yeah, but you know, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys only had a hearing in one ear, and look at all the great music he made. So there you go. You know, that's an excuse, but please don't try that.
Do you think at every meeting they were like, "We got to record this in stereo"? He's like, "Nah, mono's fine."
Yeah, mono is fine actually. You know, some of the best recordings ever made were in mono. So the early Beatles, the Beach Boys and all that. So there's no problem with mono.
Did you get the joke
at
all?
No. Okay. No, I didn't. I missed it.
You said he couldn't hear in one ear. I said, do you think at every meeting he said, should we record in stereo? And he would always answer, nah, mono's fine. Because he only had hearing in one ear.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Boo to bad jokes.
All right, whatever.
Here's some good music, though.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
think we can do it. All right. That was Dirty Fuse from the 2013 release Surfbetica. I played Junkie's Pain Mix 3. I played Kill Eli and the Blue Windows. Weird. They have some crazy names. I have a hard time reading the names of their songs.
Yeah, how do people like name their songs besides the fact that when they're instrumentals, you know?
Well, you know, there was a funny the one group I liked more, but they're still okay. System of a Down.
Oh yeah.
They just made up words. So, like every song was just like, oh, that was a really catchy tune. What was that song? Oh, Fly in My Soup on My Shoe with
the title had nothing to do with the song.
Nothing at all. Never. I don't think ever.
Maybe that's why they're still not. They're not around anymore.
No, I think they're not around anymore because they were insanely political and like that kind of alienates some.
Oh, what was that other band that was like that too? The one with Tom Morello and not System of a Down, but I can't think of their name right now. They're very political. Not System of a Down.
Oh my God, Rage Against the Machine.
Rage Against the Machine. Yeah.
Tom Morello has his own guitar line out, or his guitar is out in.
Oh, cool.
Fender.
He's a great guitar player.
Yeah, he is.
The following announcement is a special bulletin, direct from American International. It may be too late. Our planet may be doomed. Armies have been alerted. The hotlines are in constant use. Civilization is in chaos. The monsters are in revolt. Now a direct report. This is J. Webb in New York. Godzilla is laying waste to the city. The citizens have never known such fear. At the same time, Rodan is attacking Moscow. The city is alert for military action. In London, Manda is spreading horror in its path. And in the Far East, Peking trembles under the wrath of Mothra. We must destroy all monsters. Yes, destroy all monsters, or our civilization will be destroyed. Destroy All Monsters is a motion picture. See for yourself. It really could happen. Destroy All Monsters in Color from American International is rated G for general audiences.
Ah, Destroy All Monsters.
What a great movie.
I know. Monster Island, I love it. Yeah, I always kind of wonder why bands do that kind of polarizing stuff. I remember when I was in college, I used to love, like, In Living Color.
Oh, yeah.
And they showed up on Penn State, and they played the campus, and they were playing. And they started, because in that point, you know, this is our first foray into the Iraq War. And they started, like, a chant, no blood for oil and everything. I was like, I don't think I like this group anymore. And I just, like, I didn't leave, but I was like, opinions are fine, but I don't know.
Well, you know, you run out of, like, I love you songs, you know what I mean? So you got to start writing about something else.
Oh, I get it. You know,
but yeah, it gets a little like annoying after a while because it's usually like very strident and very like simplistic and, you know.
Or like Jello Biafra.
Jello Biafra.
Who's just...
He's insane.
Listen to his interviews. He's off the charts with like everyone.
Is he still around now? Yeah. He's still putting out records and stuff like that?
Yeah, he's out there and he does a lot of stuff like on YouTube where he does the interviews and... Or, you know, he'll interview or he'll talk about stuff. And you're like,
I think music is about extremes. Good music, so you're going to have extremists making it. You know
I guess,
I mean?
Yeah. And
unless it's middle of the road, and then middle of the road is middle of the road.
It's just corporate garbage, kind of.
Yeah,
right? You know,
yeah.
I guess, you know, what do you want, right? Because like, he strikes me as somebody who just stirs up shit because he can. He can't not do it. Now, everything is a conspiracy. Everything is like black and white, and you're the devil, and I'm, you know, or whatever.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
you
yeah,
see, you know, and
that's,
I
punk rock, man.
I love
it. Sells.
I love Dead Kennedys. I love, you know, that punk rock like that from that era.
See, I never got into the Dead Kennedys. I was into I liked some of the English punk, but never got into the California punk.
Really?
The Cali punk. Never did.
Wow.
That must have been like my era, my baby boomer era, and where your Gen X era started. I don't know.
Yes.
Your lost Gen X era, as we were
yes.
talking about earlier.
Yeah, it's true.
Topic.
I mean, I've been doing more and more research, and the more I dive into this rabbit hole, the weirder it gets, you know, about my, like I've been studying about the generations and what it means, you know.
Marketing.
Well, yeah, from the marketing, from the advertising perspective, it's very odd.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there's a lot to, like, look at, and there's a lot to digest when you're reading this stuff, and you're like, I don't know, man, that's really... Like, a lot of it's very strange, like, the buying power and how
demographics and marketing and buying power.
Yeah, and what happens is you start reading about it, and you start realizing who's talking to you and why they're talking to you and what they're trying to accomplish, like... What we're being fed, media stuff. You know, I think there was some I didn't fact check it, but there was some post saying 9 companies own like thousands of everything, of the media outlets. So like every newspaper and every TV show and everything is owned by like 9 corporations.
Sure. Yeah.
So what kind of message are we really getting and who's really talking to us? And it's a very fascinating subject to me. I'm not Big Brother's trying to kill me, you know, but it's an influence. Stuff is influenced by things. So it's very curious.
It's interesting, but I don't know if I buy all of it.
Oh, and of course not. You have to read everything with your own filters, your own like perceptions.
With your own cynicism.
And here's some of my own music. That's not true, but I play it for you. So I guess that's making it my own.
Yes.
That's not true at all. Here's some music.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
In fact, I only have my 2 front teeth. Then I will wish you Merry Christmas. It seems so long since I could say Sister Susie sitting on the sister. Gosh, oh gee, how happy I'd be if I could only wish you. All I want for Christmas is my 2 front teeth. My 2 front teeth. My 2 front teeth.
Morning in the Colorado snow. You know, dashing, dancing, prancing, vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, Batulico, Davos famous, reindeer of
Sorry, did I break your concentration?
All right, that is our friends Petty Buka playing Christmas songs, My Two Front Teeth, Colorado Christmas, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Mille, Mille Kalai. Hey, all you out there in listener land, Mao here. Do you ever just want to make a difference in the world? Do you ever want to give back, make the world a better place? Sure, we all do. But how? So many choices and challenges. Well, here's a really good one you could do. Why don't you go to projectpinball.org? That's an organization that puts pinball machines in hospitals, children's hospitals. What could be better than that? Not much. It's very easy. Go to projectpinball.org, donate, sign up for some raffles. Every little bit counts. I'll make it even easier. Why don't you just look them up on Facebook? Everyone has Facebook, right? Of course they do. So you look up projectpinball.org on Facebook. Help out that way. Spread the word. Make the world a better place. I'm asking you. Takes a moment of your time. You know, I'll be like, oh, for only 33 cents a day, you could sponsor a pinball machine. I'm not going to do that, but I am going to say, go to projectpinball.org, give a little bit, make the world a better place right now. Go do it. Thank you, everyone.
Everybody be cool. You be cool.
All right, so yes, Project Pinball, make sure you support it, or at least check them out. Yeah, you'll see that it's a worthwhile cause.
Definitely.
And
definitely.
Be cool.
Yeah, and be
click,
cool.
Click, click, click. You, be cool.
That's right.
All right, so yeah, but as a general rule, I don't really turn to my actors and or musicians for guidance in politics and or world events.
Well, why not?
Yeah, because I think for myself sometimes.
Oh, you're one of those
And by
people.
That, I mean all the time, and I mean yes.
Yeah, okay, so you're one of those people. All right,
yeah, like
fine,
you
be
free thinker. Some of the first
Don't
ones,
you want to be part of our group, man?
Be the first one to be rounded up because I'm a free thinker.
Oh, my God. You free thinkers, you free radicals, you free whatevers. Well, we were talking about that earlier, about belonging to a group and not fitting into a group or whatever. That's an interesting thought, you know, because, you know, you don't want to be a round peg in a square hole or anything like that. But sometimes it's not good to be always part of a group. Sometimes it's good to be independent. That way the best ideas come from independent thinking.
Yeah. And I wouldn't notice it, except like now. It's almost like commonplace for me when I get into something or start doing something, I go online. I go to the forums, you know, like I got that S2000, which is a nice little fast car. Well, I'm part of a forum now and it's a very active thing. I play guitar, so I'm on Ultimate Guitars and I'm on Fender.com.
Yeah.
They have a nice forum there. And then that's what happens, you know, and you start to like look around and you listen and I go there mostly for information, fact finding, or just what's gonna happen with my car, has anyone experienced any problems, you know, that kind of thing. But and mostly I just read. I rarely post because
posting can get you in trouble sometimes,
and internet's kind of stupid. Yeah, no matter what you write, there's always a moron that's going to be like, why didn't you search it? And then there's going to be a moron that's like the grammar Nazi, and then
you're like,
look, man,
give me a break. Okay?
Would you ever say that to my face? I bet you wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's all like, you know, on the stealth.
Yeah. And I remember when I first started going out on the internet more and more, that would get me very angry. But now I just realized it's just, who gives a crap? It's just idiots, you know.
Now that you're like an old season vet of the net.
Well, I have. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, you know what to expect. Sometimes it takes you. You know what I found too that's really weird?
Mm-hmm.
When you get like an email or something, misinterpreting it. You know, like when you say something to somebody, it could be like either jokey or with an inflection. But if you just write it sometimes, even with like a little funny face at the end, you can get into some trouble.
Emails almost always taken the wrong way.
Yeah.
Almost always. And I always kind of step back and go, why would somebody take it that way? I'm never serious about anything.
That's what I say.
And I'm definitely never like aggressive
or aggressive.
I'm always just like, whatever, that's cool. If you don't like it, that's cool too. I don't care. You know,
yeah.
I'm very even keeled about most things.
But there's a lot of misinterpretation involved.
Always.
I've always wondered about the language. Everybody says the power of language. Yeah, the power to misinterpret and to use words and to screw things up, you know. It's very, very sketchy.
Yeah, now more than ever. I hear some music more than ever.
Sketchy music, maybe?
Sure, why not?
Don't steal any beer while I'm gone.
What kind of pathetic drunk do you take me for? Somebody spilled beer in this ashtray.
body to and fro, languid in the undertow, going where the currents go. Lights out of the way, watch the black and white turn grey, signposts showing us the way. it's on you.
We don't need no stinking budget. Oh, no.
Andy Warhol's Frankenstein, rated X, is here.
Walt Disney's turning in his grave.
Newsweek magazine says, Andy Warhol's Frankenstein is a perversely fascinating movie.
Very bloody.
Gory. It was a trip.
Playboy says, swooping bats, severed limbs, human entrails, a hideous decapitating gadget, and some well-turned breasts and buttocks are among the treats that slither off the screen.
Yeah, I think it's a type of movie I've never seen before.
Sickening.
I think it was an excellent film.
Judith Crist in New York Magazine says, Andy Warhol's Frankenstein has some very funny things going for it.
If you like Andy Warhol, you like Frankenstein, you like X-rated movies, you like it's a freaky movie. It's a really freaky movie.
Andy Warhol's Frankenstein from Bryanston Pictures, rated X, under 17 not admitted.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a cap, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
All right, that was Steve Robinson off of Undercurrent, Road to Ruin, and Class Clown, both of which I can relate to. Boy, then what was that trailer we played?
Oh, that Andy Warhol.
Oh, he's pretty crazy with his multiple colors of canned soup or whatever.
He had nothing to do with these movies. He just stuck his name on them. They were made by Quentin
Tarantino Presents or...
Yeah, something along those lines. It was like a seal of endorsement or something like that. He had nothing to do with these movies, but I guess they sold because of his name to the 70s hipsters.
Now...
From New York, it seems like, in this trailer. The movie's funny, though, but it's pretty... They are right about it. I saw it. It's funny.
Is it X-rated?
Yeah, it's pretty rough. It's okay. Pretty rough, but it's funny.
Well, very interesting. And I guess so. Go out and see that, everyone, if you're of age. But, you know, speaking about that, like, what's his deal? What's Andy Warhol's deal? Like...
Hipster New York artist.
When did he die?
I think he died in the 80s. Mm. You know, there's a lot of cool bands involved, like Velvet Underground and stuff like that. But it was a scene in New York. It was a pretty dark, you know, scene of like drugs and depravity or whatever. But very influential too. But his art was different. He kind of manufactured art, production art. You know, we studied him in school, but it's been so long, I don't remember. I mean, I like the concept of the of his work. It's kind of like smart ass, and you know.
Well, like, what was that, like, where he just did the
reproduction.
Same...
Reproduction. He turned, like, art into
did the same thing, but different colors.
Like the Campbell soup can. Like, turning, like, mundane objects into fine art or whatever. That was kind of thing. His thing was, like, everybody is going to have 50 minutes of fame, you know what I mean? He kind of turned it upside down, concept art and stuff like that, but... There was some cool music and some cool hipster things connected with him, but yeah, no, he's gone now.
Was he the original hipster? Did he?
No, he wasn't the original hipster, but he was one of the big shots. He was one of the big shots. You know, the original hipster might have been the Beatniks in the 50s.
Like
the Kerouacs and people like that. But he was definitely like in the 60s. He was like the iconic New York cool hipster dude or whatever. Now, those two movies, Andy Warhol's Frankenstein, Andy Warhol's Dracula, were directed by a guy named Paul Morrissey, who was connected with Warhol, but Andy had nothing to do with those movies. Those movies, I think, were made in Italy. They used some of his actors. I think Joe D'Alessandro was in those movies, and they're all, like, ironic and sarcastic, and, you know.
It wasn't, like, that shtick, like, he had like this big hangout, and everyone would like kind of go in and
yeah,
out of that
scene,
place.
Yeah,
like,
to be seen with like Andy Warhol was like.
But it was
oh,
like
I'm
actresses
cool.
were there and musicians
Stones,
were there,
Stones,
like,
you know, like so people everyone, like Dick Cavett. Everybody so, hung out with those guys because it was the New York scene.
So they like they go there and go on a drug binge for like 3 or 4 days,
not
maybe
every,
like
not
oh,
everybody,
yeah.
but some.
Like oh, like you know, like a band would be like oh yeah, the Rolling Stones would be just play sometimes and just hang out there afterwards.
Yeah, the Stones would play in New York, and Warhol would be there, and like everything would be oh Andy, that's so cool, you know, blah blah blah. It wasn't. It's kind of like fakery, you know what I mean? But you know, it was what it was. It was the 60s, and it was mostly the 70s that. Kind of thing. The 60s was the art. The 70s was more like the scene. Maybe late 60s, but yeah, it's days gone by. You know what I mean?
You're like, it's gone now. And,
I don't think there's anything that hip these days that I can tell anyway.
Well,
you know, kind of sad.
Obviously, you don't have an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
oh yeah.
Otherwise,
you know,
you'd be cool.
I can't
too.
Afford one. You know, so
I wouldn't buy one if I could. All right, let's go to some music. We'll be right back.
Hi, the Insanitizers are driving our barbarous DeVille, listening to the Indie Circuit on Radio St. Pete.
All righty then.
Thank you.
wasn't really part of the deal.
Okay, I'll throw in another couple billion, all right?
I like money.
All right, as noted in their Indie Circuit call-out, that was the Insanitizers. I played Five Pickups, Relentless Squid, Dance Like a Robot, alternate version, and Undertow Duo Guitar Perk.
All right. I got a question for you.
Certainly.
About surf music. Mm-hmm. I've always thought that the Beach Boys were surf music, but there's different genres of surf music. I mean, were the Beach Boys a pop band, even though that wrote about surf music, or are they considered part of the surf music phenomenon?
Yeah, see, a lot don't. I always did. I still do. I think it's like purists will say if there's lyrics, then it's not surf music.
Okay. All
but right. I think that's kind of a small-minded way of looking at it.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, what's more surf music than, you know, than the Beach Boys? You know,
yeah,
it's all about.
They wrote a song called Surfing USA.
Yeah, fun in the sun, girl. Going out there. And I get it. You know, Dick Dale is obviously kind of represents, to me, like the not the pinnacle, but he represents like a very solid centerpiece for surf music.
Okay.
You know, crazy as he is. But yeah, there's all kinds. And some have lyrics, some don't. Some are.
Now, what's interesting, when I brought this up was because, yeah, we play surf songs, but, you know, surf in California, that was the antithesis, big word, of Andy Warhol and the New York scene. The New York scene was dark and grim and druggy and, like, and then you had the California girls and the fun in the sun and the hippies and all that stuff. So they collided.
Just in, like the East and West Coast rap wars.
Yeah, in the 60s and 70s. They collided and they didn't like each other either. Wherever you read reviews of each one, for the most part, they were always going at each other. So, yeah, it's like East Coast and West Coast back in the 60s and 70s. So, yeah, that was definitely like they didn't coexist well.
That's weird.
I remember reading about the Eagles. Whenever they played in New York, people would boo them and stuff like that, and they would boo them back, and they never played in Madison Square Garden again and all that stuff.
You
know. Back in the day, that is.
What kind of a person are you to boo the Eagles?
I don't know. I mean,
honestly. That's like if you're sitting there like, oh, yeah, boo, the Beatles, you're so boo. And like, really? Seriously? Even if I don't like a group, I can say, wow, they're kind of, you know,
yeah, they're good enough to play, you know, you don't want to boo them, but yeah, a lot of jerks, drunks, you know, whatever, but yeah, there was a lot of antagonism going on between those two.
Well, I have to antagonize you because the show's over.
Aww.
Oh, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. This has been the Indie Circuit. I'm Mal, with me, week
Dr.
in
Morbius.
And week out. All right, and that's it. See you next week, everyone.